When we see commercials for products, companies often tell us that their products are new and improved, right? And that always makes me wonder when I hear that. Newer than what? Improved compared to what? You know, is newer always better? Terms like new and old are relative, and they don't really make sense alone without something to compare the new or old thing to. And if you pick up a Bible, and I hope you do now and then, you might notice it has two main divisions or two parts. There's the Old Testament, which is huge and long, and it's a challenging read. And then there's the New Testament, which is shorter, and it talks about Jesus. Now, we know Jesus, and the New Testament is easier to read, so as Christians, I think we tend to focus quite a bit on the New Testament. But the thing is, the New Testament doesn't make sense without the Old. It may be new and improved, but how do we understand that without the Old? So this weekend, which Pope Francis has declared to be the Sunday of the Word of God, I wanted to talk a bit about how the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament, how the two are kind of related, and why we still have both Testaments in our Bible. One definition of that word fulfill is to do what is necessary to bring about or achieve something that is expected, desired, or promised. So here's a simple example that might help us understand. If we are hungry, our stomachs are empty, there's a lack, there's a need. And thankfully for most of us here, there's a promise and a hope that someone, maybe it's mom or dad, or maybe it's Joyce's Cafe downtown, someone's going to provide us with some supper, and then our hunger will be satisfied. It will be fulfilled. Something we hope for, expected, and needed will have been provided to us. There's a need, a promise that the need will be fulfilled, and then there is the actual fulfillment of that need. And fulfillment, the reason I mention this is, fulfillment is one of the great overarching themes of the whole Bible. Understanding this theme helps us to understand why Catholics still hang on to and cherish the Old Testament, even though it was written before God came to us most fully in Jesus. So what is this Old Testament? What's in there? Well, the Old Testament contains the law, the commandments given by God through Moses. It contains the prophets, which are the writings of those through whom God spoke to his chosen people, the Jewish people. It contains some historical books that tell the history of the Jewish people, and it contains wisdom literature, writings that offer us wise sayings, for example. The Old Testament is sort of the Jewish Bible, and Jewish people found their unity and their identity as a people contained in the Old Testament, in the law especially. We heard in our first reading how joyfully they received the law from the priest Ezra, who read the Torah, which means the first books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. He read the Torah aloud to them for something like 6 hours. Sounds kind of tedious, right? Maybe this is why they were weeping in the story there. But then we're told they are to rejoice. Because after all, in receiving the law, they were being reminded that God had made promises to them that God would someday fulfill. That day wherein they received God's promises was a very good and holy day. But the Jewish people had to wait quite some time for the fulfillment of those promises. More than anything, they came to hope for the arrival of the Messiah, who had been written about in the Old Testament, especially, for example, by Isaiah. Now, Messiah is a word that means anointed one, and anointing is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, of being chosen by the Holy Spirit. Kings in the Old Testament were anointed. Priests and prophets were anointed too. Thus, the Jewish people, with the Old Testament, were awaiting a Messiah, an anointed one, who who would be a priest, a prophet, and a king, chosen by God. The whole Old Testament points forward to the coming of this Messiah, this priest, prophet, and king. Now, fast forward and look at what happened in the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus had just been baptized by John, and he returned from the desert where he'd been tempted. He went to his hometown, and on the Sabbath, he went to the local synagogue, the Jewish house of worship, and he stood up to proclaim a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, something that had been written half a millennium before. And Jesus read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." To those listening, that would have reminded them of the Messiah, the anointed one. And that's fine. They'd heard this passage before. It wasn't something new to them. But when Jesus finished reading, he rolled up the scroll, he handed it to the attendant, and he sat down. Everyone's looking at him to see what he's going to say, what kind of sermon he's going to give. And he said, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." In essence, he was saying to the people, "I am the Messiah. I've come to fulfill everything Isaiah wrote about the Anointed One, the one you've been waiting for." The entire Jewish people had been hungering, longing for the arrival of this Messiah. And here he was, in Jesus. Finally, in Jesus, the Jewish people and the whole world through them receives the glad tidings Isaiah wrote about for the poor. Good news that makes the materially poor as well as the spiritually poor happy. Captives were freed. All of us are freed through Jesus from slavery to sin. Sight to the blind. Jesus healed some who had physical blindness, that's true, but he offers all of us insight into the divine life, and so on. This is why St. Augustine once wrote that the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old is unveiled, or I could say fulfilled, in the New. Likewise, St. Jerome once wrote that ignorance of Scripture, including the Old Testament, is ignorance of Christ. To understand who Jesus is and how he fulfills all our hopes, we should be familiar with the Old Testament and the New. Now, at some point, every one of us gets that thought, "I should read the Bible." And of course, we should. But it's tough to just pick it up, right, and go cover to cover. That's really hard to do. That's why there's so many resources and guides and plans to help us read. But a simple suggestion is to, start with Genesis and Exodus, and then maybe skip ahead to Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. It's just a good way to start. Or how about arriving early for weekend Mass? Read the weekend's readings in the Breaking Bread books that are right there in the pews. Or why not pick up and take home a copy of the Word Among Us magazines that we got out there in the gathering space? That has the Bible readings for every day's Mass. And if you read the readings for every day's Mass for like 3 years, you will have read most of the Bible, almost all of the New Testament, and a good chunk of the Old. Or why not try listening to the Bible? For quite a while last year, and so far this year, the number one podcast in all categories and charts has been Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a Year podcast from Ascension Press. Over the course of a year, starting on January 1st, Father Mike Schmitz goes through and explains the whole Bible in about 20 minutes a day. As I say, he started on January 1st, so we're a few weeks into it now, but it's not too late to just join in. It's just available in all your podcast apps, Bible in a Year. And by the way, we do the same sort of thing at Mass every day, reading from the Bible, according to a plan that covers the whole of the story. But if you can't get to Mass, the podcast is good. It's a very good podcast. Also, I constantly encourage this, but formed.org, which we have a subscription to as a parish, it's free to you, has a ton of Bible studies available to you. on various themes. So my point is, there has never been a time when it's been easier for us to learn about the Bible. And yet I would say, I think even those of us here at church, we seem a lot less knowledgeable about the Bible than ever before. And that's tragedy. So let's pick up good Catholic Bibles and programs, spend some time with them. And if you need more suggestions or advice, or if you have questions, I can certainly do my best to help. And through all of this study, you might just see how beautifully God prepared the world from the beginning, throughout all of the Old Testament, for the coming of Jesus in the new and improved covenant and testament. Amen.